for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.
Thursday evening, May the 22nd, 1986. Memorial Weekend, Teaching and Deliverance Seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the first service of the meeting. Chuck and Marianne Flynn, Los Angeles, California, are the speakers of the evening. Before the Flynns ministered, a prophecy came to the body through Brother Jack Harris.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the lovely Lord. Ah, yes, Lord. Beauty, oh, beauty of beauty of holiness. Hallelujah. 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 The Lord God reigneth. He's clothed with majesty. He's clothed with strength, whereof he girdeth himself. The earth is established that it cannot be moved. Thy throne, O Lord, is established of old. The floods have lifted up their voices. The floods have lifted up their waves. But the Lord God on high is mightier than the voices of many waters. That is, my friend, he is mightier than public opinion. Hallelujah. He is mightier than the waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure, and holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Wilderness and solitary places shall be glad for them. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to them. The excellency of Carmel and of Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands, confirm the feeble knees, and say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, our God will come with vengeance, even God with recompense. Our God will come and save us. Then shall the blind eyes be opened, and the deaf ears unstopped. The lame man shall leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing, and in the wilderness shall waters break forth, and springs in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water, and in the habitation of dragons for each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes, and a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called a way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed of the Lord shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sadness and sorrow shall flee away. Hear, O house of the Lord, yea, and give to the Lord your attention, and hear as the trumpet begins to make a sound. Yea, for thou hast come from many places, many directions, and by the Spirit of the Almighty hast thou been drawn together. Therefore shall I invite thee to come together in a tight circle, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, I do not necessarily mean geographically so, but I mean in the Spirit. I want you to draw in to the presence of my Shekinah glory and form a tight circle, as it were, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, if I have many things to say to my people, yea, from now until then, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, and only if thou dost receive an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, can the Spirit of the Almighty speak unto thee the things that he would have thee to know, saith the Lord. Therefore I admonish thee, yea, to listen and give close attention to that your ears will hear. Yea, and tune in by the Spirit. Yea, hear with the Spirit, saith the Lord thou God, and not so much with the intellect as with the Spirit, for I shall speak deep things unto thee. Yea, already rumbling from the depth of the throne of God, already directed towards thee, deep is going to call unto thee. Yea, and thou shalt be stirred from your inmost being. Yea, for it is not your doing, but it is mine, saith the Lord thou God. And it is my plan and my purpose that I have brought thee together. Yea, even for these services I shall speak to thee. Yea, in all seriousness, saith the Lord, now God, I shall speak to thee with instruction. I shall speak to thee in edification, exhortation, and comfort. Yea, and I shall teach thee the ways of the Lord. As thou dost, I'll learn to follow me. Yea, follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Yea, for know that in this day you have come to, and that has come upon you, it is a time of curious things, as described by mine apostles of old. Yea, but though right in the midst of this, I shall raise up a glorious church. Yea, and I shall bring to fullness mine elect, saith the Lord, thou God. If you will follow me, I'll bring you, saith the Lord, thou God. And when you reach Zion, it is a place where all good things are given, saith the Lord, thou God. Everything that will strengthen my people, I, the Lord, thou God, will withhold no good thing from them that walk upright before me. Yea, for you have come into my presence. Therefore rejoice, yea, and let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Yea, and know that it is the joy of the Lord, not your own joy. Yea, for your own joy does fluctuate. Yea, but the joy of the Lord is the same. Yea, now it will be the same tomorrow. It was the same yesterday. Yea, it is a sure and steadfast anchor that thou can latch your boat to, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, I know that I have spoken unto thee, and it is a good thing that thou hast come together in my presence this night, saith the Lord. Yea, for it is a day of serious beginnings. Yea, saith the Lord, thou God, when I shall get the attention of all of my people that are Christ-centered. Yea, all that have a blessed hope. Yea, for it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Yea, but it is Christ in you is the hope, but the glory. It is the hope, but the glory is when you are in Christ. Yeah. For the promises are to those that have been in Christ, saith the Lord, thou God. Yea, it is in this realm that there is no difference. Yea, it is in this realm all the barriers have been torn down. Yea, and all of the distinctions have been wiped away, saith the Lord, thou God. Ye know that it is a lofty calling, and none shall ascend except those that aspire to ascend, saith the Lord thou God. Make sure that no one will just stumble into the beautiful promises that I'm telling you of tonight, saith the Lord thou God. But if you would receive, you will have to aspire to receive, saith the Lord. It is lofty, but it's not so lofty that it cannot be attained. For the Lord thou God shall attain it for thee, saith the Lord. If you will surrender yourself, yea, and submit to me unconditionally, saith the Lord thou God, yea, I shall surely out of you, saith the Lord thou God. I shall surely bring you to the fullness of my intent. Yea, if thou wilt give me an unconditional surrender, even tonight. Say not in your heart, I surrendered 20 years ago. Yea, a lot of my people surrendered 20 years ago. I'm talking about repentance. I'm talking about godly sorrow that worketh repentance. I'm talking about separation, saith the Lord thou God. I'm talking about holiness, but we shall see God. I'm not talking about a holiness of outward apparel and things and matter. I'm talking about a holiness of the spirit, of the deep that is within you, saith the Lord thou God. Therefore, let your hearts begin to be stirred. I shall feed you with a good word. I shall feed you with a strong word. Yea, as my servants do minister the word, thou shalt hear and thou shalt be fed. Thou shalt of the land, yea, the good of the spirit in the land of the living, saith the Lord thou God. For I have not forsaken thee, neither shall I forsake thee. Yea, but I shall surely nurture thee and lead thee on as a tender shepherd would lead the least of his lambs until I have brought thee all the way to Zion, saith the Lord thou God. Oh, blessed be God forever. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the lovely Lord. Praise the lovely Lord for his lovely goodness toward us tonight. Isn't he wonderful? Don't you love him tonight? Thank the Lord.
It's a privilege to have Chuck and Mary Ann here. As Irma said, they were here for the speakers for the very first meeting that we ever had here on these grounds, the first meeting of this type. We held it in the White House up on the hill, put chairs in in the room up there and packed it out in the room up there. This is quite a bit different from what it was that first time up there. And we thank the Lord for what he has done from that day to this. There was nothing like this here at all. This was where we're out here was a big pond, and where we're standing was brush and shrubbery. And to those who were here that day and those who are here today, the place is not the same at all. Well, it's a privilege and a joy to have Chuck and Mary Ann Flynn to come and minister to us this evening. The Lord bless them as they minister the word of the Lord.
Appreciate you being here tonight. We've been looking forward to this conference. And you gentlemen, I am just so thrilled that the death of the Lord and his Spirit of God told me, said I'm going to bring you forth as children. During this conference, there were two scriptures in the Word that were pertinent to the Messiah as a boy, as a child. And these two scriptures were given to Jesus when he was being raised up. One is found in Psalms 119 chapter. And verse 97 to verse 105. Those scriptures there that it ends with verse 105 that thy word is a light to my path. All I have to do is take a step. But 97 said, I will be trained more than to my teachers, and I will not be rebellious. But to those that work among children, and to those of us tonight that have the childlike nature, I want you to put that down in your spirit conference, that we're going to know from the Ancient of Days through this conference. That's why Glenn mentioned tonight the Judge of Judges, because the Ancient of Days, that's his office, the Father's office. The other scripture is Isaiah 50, verse 4. I will give you the tongue of the learned. And I'll give you an open ear, and morning by morning, you'll have the revelations to be given of the Father. But the pertinent reason is that God has given you and I the tongue of the learned. One of the greatest acts of Satan, the thing that he fears, is the family unit. Psalms 2 says, why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing, and they set themselves the kings of this earth, means the ones that try to dominate men. They set themselves against the Lord and his Christ, and said, we're going to break their bands. That means God the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. The word bands there means family harmony and the sanctity of marriage and the unity of the home in the Hebrew. Paternal authority, it means the father image over the family of God and over the family of the earth. So God's going to give us the tongue of the learned. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We appreciate the anointing. And we loose, my brother, we loose, my sister. Let the authority of thy word take a hold of us in new realms and new areas of our heart, in the spiritual capacity of our being, to be enlarged. As you told Jeremiah, you're going to loosen our cords. You're going to strengthen our stakes. For the tabernacle of the Lord is among men. And therefore the body of Christ shall be taught of thee. And now, Father, give us the tongue of the learned and the open ear, the covenant of Zion. And we thank you for it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Glory. Well, it's good to be here in Arkansas.
Yes, I'm glad to be back again. It was so nice to have been here and see the White House and the meetings there, and then to come back and with no trouble at all, here we are. No trouble at all. And I was thinking of all that I know that you've been through, the stumps you've pulled and the tractors that you've got stuck in ditches while you were smoothing things out. And I have kept track through Chuck and through your reports of what has happened. And I thought, you know, many years ago when I was here first, you had a vision of this.
Yes.
But it didn't happen the next day or the next day or the next day. And many of us have a vision of what we want to be in the Lord and how we want the Lord to use us and how we want a family to be. And we can see so many beautiful things in the next day and the next week and the next month when it doesn't happen. You know, the Bible says we'll reap if we do not do what? Things.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, our brother had to go ahead and go through and pull up the fence, the stumps and take out the trees and lay foundations. And I can remember when you had just gotten a great big truck or a tractor or something over in a ditch, I think for the second or third time,
yes,
you know, and it took a big lot of labor to get it out. And so we don't see those things, but the Lord does, because he knows that he's going to bring that vision to pass in our life if we faint not. And the end result will be what we have envisioned. And we may have to pull a few stumps and we may get a few tractors caught in ditches. But it's okay. We'll pull them out and we'll keep going. And this will be, we'll see our vision.
Line upon line, precept upon precept, and offering on offering, and stump on stump.
Camp on camp.
Mary and I have known Glenn and Emma for a long time. I'd like to commend them. We travel a lot. God's been good to us in his favor. We were just called to be guests, to be interviewed in Tulsa on Richard Roberts' program. But I was thinking, we all have heard of the great achievement of a hospital for the physical. And we don't compare. But I want to encourage Lynn and Irma. Not always the most accepted ministry that God's chosen them and some of you to set people free spiritually in deliverance. And I want to say this publicly. And when you support, some of you have some funds that may be easier to give where it's popular. I can't think of any place any better. As I look around at some of these robots of Satan that the devil tried to take their life by dope and other means, and now they're set free. They're a contribution to society. And no specialist could have done it except Dr. Jesus. But Glenn and Irma bore the reproach of Calvary. They have a place here that people can come. Glenn meant it when he said, if you need help, call him. It wasn't just to keep control. Of course, that's, he wants everything to be done decently and in order. And we do too. But he'll come. I've seen him pray. I've seen him pray longer than I could. I commend you, Glenn and Emma. And we bless this place. And this weekend, we want all to be able to be caught up. And the vision to go on into deeper depths and higher heights. I want us to give the Lord a clap offering, and you let the Holy Spirit speak to you how you're going to really support. I didn't have this plan, but I felt a tribute that is certainly commendable. To see men set free and delivered, an area of life that is not as easy, but it's very needful. Let's praise God for it.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Romans chapter 5.
I just was going to say that tonight, whenever we grabbed a quick bite of supper, I saw some people giving in another way, too. There's all kinds of ways to give. So just be inventive. They were out there cooking meals and picking up dishes, and there's all kinds of ways to be a ministry and a blessing. So don't shut out any of them.
Amen. I feel almost Italian. I eat so much spaghetti. Chapter 5 of Romans. The blood of his cross.
Chapter 5 of Romans.
The theme, the blood of his cross. Let's start with verse 6 down to verse 10. In fact, I'll go into verse 11. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Oh, I like that verse. He's always on time. In due time. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. True love is redemptive. True love is not expressed without a price. He commends his love in that Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Please underline, we were reconciled to God. We were joined to God in peace. We had a blood covenant with God by the death of his Son. And then these two words are very, very important. Much more. Say it with me. Much more. Say it again. Much more being reconciled. Say it with me. Being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. I want you to read that in the Amplified, which picks up a little more of the original along that particular verse 10.
For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, it is much more certain now that we are reconciled, that we shall be saved and daily delivered from sin's dominion through his resurrection life.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And not only so, verse 11, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. How does verse 11 read?
Not only so, but we also rejoice and exultingly glory in God, his love and perfection, through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received and enjoy our reconciliation.
Praise God. The King James word, atonement, brings us now into the fuller meaning of the reconciliation. Reconciliation that's more than that which is then given back into fellowship with God, or acceptance by God. The atonement of the cross and the atonement, the price that was paid, the ultimate price of not just a human being, but love's expression, the eternal liquid of creation formula, is the blood of Jesus. We have not only been brought back under God's favor, but we have been established, restored to the Adamic privilege. As when Adam fell, the earth fell. But by his resurrection life, through the baptism of his Spirit, we have been restored to the position Adam had with God, so that we now restore all things that fell. We, through that precious blood of Christ that has redeemed us and has empowered us to speak better things than that of Abel, we will also restore the earth back under the Father.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. There's your restoration. Not that all of a sudden God said, all right, all forgiven, come home. But through the atoning work of his cross, we speak the power and the authority of his blood. Hallelujah. And the Bible is saying, you not only are reconciled by his death, don't get so caught up with just talking about his death. And all you can preach is warmed over salvation messages. You better come on in. How much more are we reconciled by his life? In other words, don't leave the other undone. It's a wonderful thing to see the glory of God and many come in to know Jesus as their Savior. But let's go on in to the authority. How much more are we saved or reconciled by his life? Amen. Come on into the authority and the height of his glory and anointing, that we are daily delivered by his resurrection.
I love that. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Daily we live by his resurrection life. When you really think about it, that's really deep. The scripture tells us that the blood of Jesus Christ speaks better things than that of Abel.
Amen.
And I have a picture of the cross in my mind, and I see Jesus on the cross, and I see his blood flowing down the from the crown of thorns, from the beating on his back. If you study into that, and I know many of us have, it shows that his back did not really, you could not see stripes on his back, though he was beaten with so many stripes. But his back showed no stripes because it was totally just a mess. It was just emaciated because of the type of beating that he took. And the blood was dripping down from that and from the wounds in his hands and his feet, his sides, from the wounds in his face where they plucked his beard. Scripture says he's marred more than any other man. And you know what I see? I see the blood coming down and I see it. We can imagine it hitting the ground at the foot of the cross. And what was that at the foot of the cross? That was the earth. And what are we? We're the living earth.
Yes.
We're the living earth.
Yes.
And this living earth is full of the blood of Jesus Christ. And the proof that his blood has been applied and flowed down to this living earth is that this blood speaks better things than the blood of Abel. Abel cried out to the Lord. His blood came out from the earth. And it cried, revenge, murder. Look what's happened. Come, avenge. But it says the blood of Jesus Christ, when it's applied to this living earth, whenever his sacrifice comes upon us, and daily we live because of that sacrifice, daily we show forth his blood applied to this living earth, it begins to speak. This living earth begins to speak of forgive him. It doesn't matter. Let it go. Drop it.
Yeah.
I love them. Hallelujah. And this living earth speaks better things than the blood of Abel, because the blood of Jesus Christ, and I'll say this, this is the test of the blood of Jesus Christ doing its full work in this living earth whenever it is speaking better things than the world is speaking. The world has a language. God help us to have a language. And it's speaking better things that's coming from the world. It's speaking love. It's speaking hope. It's speaking the future. It's speaking the things that pertain to godliness. And it's speaking better things. Hallelujah. And we live daily.
Yes.
We live daily because of that resurrection life. Every day that we live, the world can look at us and see the effectual working of the blood of Jesus Christ in this living earth. Hallelujah. Just like they looked at Paul. Do you know what those barbarians saw when they looked over at Paul? They saw the blood of Jesus applied to a man's life, so much so that he's busy about the Father's business, and an ass, a viper comes out of the fire, and what does he do? He takes no mind of it. He has the blood of Jesus Christ coursing through his living earth, and he shakes it off, and he keeps going about his business. And as they saw, they were looking, oh yes, we all know he should have fallen down dead, but he didn't. They saw the effects of a man under the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood. They saw the blood working through him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the world looks on us and how we react. They see the blood of Jesus Christ working through us, and it's continually speaking. Love the Lord. We love you. We love one another.
Hallelujah.
And we don't just love and do good to those that love and do good to us, but we love those who aren't so lovely. And we do good and we plan. Hallelujah. And they see the Lord Jesus in us.
See, Paul had the natural bloodstream, as every believer does, and the spiritual bloodstream. You have a rhythm of your natural heart, and then you have the rhythm of your spiritual heart, which is the Word within you. And when you have the Word beating within you, there's no viper of life that will poison you.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Why do you think John the Beloved put his head on Jesus' chest? Well, because he was a disciple of love. For years, I thought that. It was just a gesture that John guessed. Just did as a guess. I thought maybe it was just left up to John to do that. No. John represented you and I as a type and shadow. And when he put his head on Jesus' chest,
uh-huh.
he put it over the heart of Jesus.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
As a type and shadow of John represented all the disciples that loved Jesus.
Uh-huh.
And so as Jesus is our high priest, then you bring in the Old Testament type, the high priest now, as he had on the ephod. And behind the ephod was a leather pouch that held the Urim and Thummim.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And the Urim and Thummim was placed over the heart of the high priest. And that's why John put his head upon the chest of Jesus, signifying that now the Urim and Thummim is not precious stones from heaven. It is the priestly anointing of the holy priesthood, 1 Peter 2:5, and the royal priesthood, 1 Peter 2:7, dwelling within you and I, and that's why we hear the heart of the high priest. Hallelujah.
It's come down to the precious lively stones.
Yes. Yeah. We are the lively stones, Peter said, 1 Peter 2:5. We're the spiritual house. And when your ear hears his heart through his word, your natural and your spiritual brother begins to fall. Hallelujah. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Laying hands on the sick, and they shall recover. You shall speak with new tongues. You shall cast down devils. Amen. And if you take up any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. And Paul shook that viper in the fire. The glory of God, the anointing of the word, was beating within his system. The word was there in his system. And no poison could come nigh his dwelling and the anointing of the Lord. Any viper of life, financial viper, a divorce viper, a mental viper, anything that will try to come against you, shake it in the fire. You've been set free.
Hallelujah.
For the blood of Jesus speak by the heartbeat of the human system. You're a means. The Urim and Thummim in the believer. The scripture is John 16, verse 13. The Urim and Thummim in the believer, the New Testament. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. In other words, Jesus is on a higher realm of teaching here. He said, I'm going to say these. This is really something for you to know. Verse 13, howbeit, I'm going to say this anyway, Jesus is saying. Some of you are going to receive it. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Put thummim. Thummim in the Hebrew means a circle. A circle is the symbol for truth. It also, in Colossians and Ephesians, we are complete in him. There's no loose ends in Jesus. We're complete in him. The word peculiar in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, that we are a peculiar people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. The word peculiar there, in the original language that the Holy Ghost intended it to be, does not mean unusual. Does not mean unusual. See, we're the only ones sane in this bunch. The Holy Ghost bunch that's dancing and shouting and delivering and living right in righteousness and holiness before the Lord. Amen? We're not the peculiar ones. The others have left the saints. The truth that was once delivered unto the fathers is what I'm trying to say. But the word peculiar there means, and Dr. Weiss, a out of Wheaton College looked this up in the original, and he said, it means around to be. You're encircled. It comes from Exodus 12, where God says, if you have the blood on your house, I will encircle you. And Jehovah God saying, if the blood is on your doorpost, I'm going to circle you with my personality. I'm not just going to protect you. I'm going to cover you with myself. He told the priest in Ezekiel 44, he said, boys, I don't want you to have any of the land. He said, I don't want you to have any inheritance in the earth, because I'm your inheritance. I'm your God. I'm everything you need. Glory to God. That's why Abraham shunned the king of Sodom and said, I don't want any of your material good. I'm going to pay my tithe to Melchizedek. I'm going to raise my hand up to El Elyon, the Most High God. He's the possessor of heaven and earth. When I pay my tithe, I own the whole earth.
Hallelujah.
God. Amen. I don't want just a few little material goods. I want Cadillac on 1,000. If that's what he said, I'd raise my hands up. Hallelujah. This is the authority that we have. The blessing, the dominating power of the Most High God.
Thank you, Lord.
He's given us that divine truth, that anointing in Him. Hallelujah. And that's why when you praise the Lord, that's why you agree with the high arm covenant of Abraham. See, when Abraham raised his arm, that became a high arm covenant of the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. And that's why when we praise the Lord, we lift up our arms, we see His glory in everything. Amen. Hallelujah.
You know, I, again, going back to John, I look at John as symbolizing us. And when he put his head over on Jesus' chest, and as you said, he heard the heartbeat of Jesus. He heard Jesus' heart. I mean, that would be the natural thing that would happen. And what does Jesus say so many times throughout the scriptures? Mark 4 in particular is a good one, because all through that chapter, he stops every so often while he's talking. He's giving parables, and every so often he stops and he says, oh, you that have ears to hear, you who are of me, you who are mine, I want you to be listening and perceive and understand. It's an invitation to all of us to lean our head over like John did and put our ear against the breast of Jesus and hear his heartbeat.
Hallelujah.
Because what he was really saying is, I'm saying something tremendous here. There is a tremendous revelation here, and the world is listening to it, and they're just hearing words and not perceiving. But I'm meaning something down in my heart. Do you understand what I'm saying? You ever had somebody say that? You understand what I'm saying? Do you know what I mean? Do you know where I'm coming from? They mean you're not just listening to words, but do you understand what I really feel like? And to me, this is what Jesus has given us, an invitation. He that hath ears to hear, come over here and listen. And you'll hear what I'm really saying, what I really mean. You want revelation when you read the Word of God. Put your ear on the breast of Jesus, and you'll hear His heart. The revelation will come on the Word. It won't be just mere words, but it'll be revelation. What does He say where John was saying? He says, I've got many things to say to you, but you're not able to bear them. The Lord could just heap revelation upon revelation, but they needed to take more time to listen to what His heart was saying. Because occasionally they'd have to say, Lord, what did you mean by this? And he says, don't you understand? Don't you know what I was meaning? And then he begins to explain it. Do you too not know what I mean? But he gives an open invitation. All of us, like John, can put our ear up there and listen if we will. He that hath ears to hear, the inward ears, the spiritual ears, turn them on. Revelation, it says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. And you know, the Spirit is always speaking. I liken that to going down. How many of you have ever had or have a CD?
You know, those are those citizen bandits that you have in your car, and you can be driving down the highway, and you're just going along, and you're just there all by yourself, and you look out, and it's just wilderness on both sides, and maybe trees and shrubs, and you reach down, and you turn your ears on. And what happens? There's people all around. There's a town over that hill that you didn't even know was there, but because you have turned on this particular ears, that's the terminology they use, as you got your ears on, you begin to hear what's happening. You begin to know there's a truck coming up. You begin to know that there's a policeman waiting down there in the Meridian about 2 miles down. Smoky, they call them, you know, they're so. I don't know anything about those things, but...
you listen, poor Lord.
You pull your foot up a little bit off of the accelerator, you know, and it's a lot of fun. But you didn't know any of that till you turned your ears on, and this is what the Lord is saying. See, there was all of that speaking on the CB, but you didn't hear any of it until you reached down and turned it on. And then you heard it. And the Bible says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. The Spirit is speaking. If we'll tune in.
Yes.
If we'll say, Lord, let revelation come in. Lord, I'm determined that my life, my actions, everything that I say, everything that I do, my very attitude will speak to others. And the world will look at it and they will see Jesus energized and working in me. Whether I'm speaking or whether I have an attitude or whether I'm just
Holy
going about
God.
And not knowing I'm observing, people are looking at Jesus. And isn't that Jesus' ultimate for us? He says in 2 Corinthians 3:18 that you might come into his very own image. Hallelujah. And it says we do that by staying in the Word. James says there's a man that he goes to the Word and he observes the Word, and as he looks in the Word, it's like a man looking in the mirror. And he sees what manner of person he is. Oh, my goodness, my hair needs combed. Look at that part is gone completely. And my goodness, no makeup on. Look at there, one eye is on and one eye isn't. And we see what manner of person, how we ought to take care of ourselves. This is the way it is when we stay in the Word. We see how we ought to act. We see how we ought to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Do you know how you renew your mind? You're transformed by the entire renewal of your mind with its new ideals and its new attitudes. And you know how to change your attitudes because you're in the Word and you're beholding all the time. My goodness, there's a shortcoming there. The part's not right just there. I'm not lining up exactly with the Word. And in James it says the person looks and they see what manner of man they are. And then what do? They go away from the mirror and straightway they don't believe they really look that bad. And pretty soon they completely forget all about it. Now others who see us, see. But in 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, but we, because we keep beholding in the Word as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, we're constantly being changed. We stay right in the mirror.
That's
we're
it.
Taking care of everything all the time.
Hallelujah.
This doesn't look like Jesus. Let's change that a little bit. This attitude isn't the way he'd have me to be, so I'll change that. And we stay in the Word, and we continually make corrections upon our life. And it says, from one degree of glory to another in ever-increasing splendor, we are being changed into his very own image. And pretty soon, we look like him. Hallelujah. We look like him to the world. Now, not in our features, but where it counts. Our attitudes, our actions, the way we react, the way we respond, the way we treat people. Why,
yes.
It looks just like Jesus, and they see Jesus in us, and we're walking around in his very own image because we stay in that Word you've been talking about.
Beautiful. That mirror on the wall. Who's the
Amen. Hallelujah. We ought to be reciting that daily. You know, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all? Praise the Lord.
How do you spell release? J-E-S-U-S.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The beautiful thing to see the Holy Ghost change you from glory to glory. The Spirit of the Lord moving upon you. I noticed in the baptism in water, and I was thinking of it, we had a baptismal recently, and I think along these lines, and as I just gave myself to the anointing of prophecy. There's a dimension. That's why I allow the anointing of the precious authority of the blood to move in your spirit. Revelation began to flow, and I could see that the submerging, the baptism of water, it doesn't mean that you're just going down dry and coming up wet. It means a submerging. A transfiguration, if you please. You're submerged into the cocoon of the Word. As Jesus was transfigured, as no fuller on earth could transfigure him. And the Greek word there is metamorpho. Metamorpho, the biology term. As a caterpillar just has a little old leaf, he picks up a little religious chlorophyll every now and then. Some just on Easter, you know, or Sunday mornings. That's all the chlorophyll they need. That little leaf is the only religious life they know. Get a few scriptures. But Jesus said, I want you to leave that crawling nature. Uh-huh. I want you to be submerged in my spirit. Uh-huh. And he uses the word cocoon. And so he puts a cocoon of his word around us. Hallelujah. The crawling nature leaves.
Hallelujah.
And a whole new nature, the butterfly nature, comes upon us. The new life, the transfiguration of power. So the blood has two authorities within it.
Mm-hmm.
Two principles in the blood. Number one, the blood redeems. For without the shedding of blood, there is no what? Remission of sin. So the blood redeems. For all of sin comes short of the glory of God. So the blood that redeems you, Jesus is more concerned than just the redemption. He just doesn't want you and I to just get fire insurance to miss hell and then that's it. It's more than that. He wants to redeem you. But the same blood that redeems you now is the same blood that empowers you or speaks out of you the unsearchable riches of his grace. So the blood that speaks prophetic wisdom, the heavenly language, let the blood now that redeems you, let that life of the flesh is in the blood of Jesus. Now let that trust of Jesus come forth in your life. And be filled with the baptism and let him submerge you in his cocoon. See, even psychologists say that every human being has a personality bubble. So it is in the spirit. We're peculiar because the Father has put his bubble over. He's covered you with his personality. And therefore the Father who has covered us, that's why Jesus, when Pilate said, you better talk to me. Your life is in my hand. And Jesus said to Pilate, you can't do one thing except the Father permits it. Why? Because the Father had cocooned him. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. That verse is a tremendous mystery. That everything that happened to Jesus was for our edification. For always. That's why he was cocooned. In the personality of the Father. And that's why you and I are peculiar, is because the Father has covered us. Amen. So the blood that speaks is the blood that empowers us. And that's why on Resurrection Day, that's a tremendous day. That first day of the week, he was very busy. But he comes among his disciples. And he says, peace be still. And he's holding his hands and his sides. The tremendous mystery of the wounds of Jesus. See, in our resurrection body, you and I will have no flaws, no blemishes. But Jesus took upon himself, for though he was rich, he became poor, that we through his poverty should become rich. We have no flaws, but he will bear those scars. He told Thomas, he said, thrust your hand into my side. It meant that the side never healed, never did heal. It's a mystery that it just brings us to our knees in worship. His wounds are still there. The wounds that his blood spoke through his body. Why? Because he's a signet of heaven's love, of the Father's justice, that we, as the body of Christ, still speak. And the blood that flowed from those wounds,
yes,
are still speaking,
yes, amen,
through the body. But we were the wounded ones. And he took our wounds. And he's bearing them for eternity. So you and I will not have any wounds. We'll speak of his blood. We'll tell of his generation. Who shall declare his generation? We'll do it. Forever. Hallelujah. That's why he breathed on them. And said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Why? Because, see, the blood that redeems also is the blood that speaks. So the blood that redeems you, they had the blood applied. They believed on him. But then he says, I'm going to breathe on you.
Hallelujah.
Now here, I like word studies. It's all right to study the original wording. I like to get Strong's Concordance and look up the word breathe. There's something there. So I looked it up. And the Greek word is emphyseo. Jesus breathed on them his resurrection breath. And the word there is a breath that does not dissipate or vanish or end. Emphyseo is the Greek form of the word. The same word. Now, this just blew me out of my spiritual saddle. The same word that in the Hebrew Moses wrote in Genesis 2, where God breathed into Adam the breath of life. And the word in the Hebrew is naphach. N-A-P-H-A-C-H. Naphach. And emphyseo. On the resurrection, Jesus restored the breath to mankind that Adam had breathed into him, that he rejected at the fall. And Jesus said, when you receive the Holy Ghost, the creative breath is restored in you. That gave Adam the Adamic privilege to walk with Jehovah in the cool of the day and speak my creative word.
Hallelujah.
I'm raising up a new man.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
The background now of this, hold that steady in your mind. He prayed in John 17, Father, I not only pray for these disciples, he meant for these, his disciples, but I pray for all them. Who is all them? All of us.
Amen.
Isn't that right? He said, I pray for all them who will believe or who will hear their word, their rhema. Their living breath is the word rhema.
Pass the breath on.
We have now the scriptural evidence. There's not only a bloodline, a spiritual bloodline down through the ages from the cross, but now we have the resurrection breath line from the same breath. Jesus breathed on his disciples, and when they preach the word, when they testify, that same resurrection life has been passed on from generation to generation, down through the dark ages, down through the ages and aeons, and into Zwingli's day and Martin Luther, down through the reformers, down through the ages, down through the Pentecostal power, the authority of God. And the message, the first time you heard the message, was it grandma, was it mama, was it pastor, was it an evangelist, was it just a street minister, or was it someone else? But the first time you heard the message, that's the resurrection life that Jesus breathed, the resurrection breath, on his resurrection day. But it's been passed on. It never dissipates. When you tell your son or daughter, when you tell your grandchildren, when you're saying it to someone else, talking about Jesus, and when you're delivering or praying for the sick, It's not depending on, well, what, really how much faith or what you... You know the word, but you're speaking the same resurrection breath.
Hallelujah.
And that resurrection breath will set free, mm-hmm. will provide, mm-hmm. will save, mm-hmm. will deliver, mm-hmm. will fill with the Holy Ghost, and you will speak it. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. The original means it shall be created for you. If we don't have it, Jesus said, we'll create it.
Hallelujah.
We'll make it.
Amen.
That,
God.
There's a bloodline and there's a breathline. This is the authority of his power.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'll tell you, I'm going to start having more confidence in what I say.
Amen.
Knowing that I'm full of the breathline, it's been, I heard the gospel. It was passed on to me, and I'm full of it, and I'm empowered to pass it on. No wonder the scriptures say in Mark 11:23-24 that if we say this to this mountain and believe it, we'll have whatever we say. No wonder, because of the words of our mouth are so powerful. It's powerful if we know it, if we act on it, if we allow it to come forth, if we allow the word to come forth in this natural earth, like the Lord told us to allow it whenever he gave the illustration of the mustard seed going into the earth. It says it grows up, it's a tiny little thing, but whenever it allows the earth to do what it should be done and the earth allows the seed to come forth as it should come forth, it becomes a mighty tree. And others, the fowls of the air, are blessed by it. Find shelter. Find security in it. Oh, that we let the word of God have its free course in us. If we do, we'll be like that great mustard tree. And others will come to us, and they'll find safety and security, rest from the sun, from the heat of the day. They'll bring their mountains to us, and we'll speak to those mountains, and they'll flee away. Hallelujah. And the great trees that are in the way and hinder their progress will speak, and they'll be plucked up by the roots and cast out of the way. Hallelujah. Oh, you know, I think the enemy trembles at the knowledge that we might realize how powerful our words are in the Lord and begin to act on it and begin to speak it forth. Knowing that we're backed up by the blood of Jesus, by his resurrection life, and I was not only powerfully, wonderfully saved and made fit to enter the presence of the Lord by the cross of Jesus Christ, but I'm powerfully and wonderfully kept every day, and I am empowered every day by that same blood and by that same resurrection life.
Wonderful.
I'll tell you, this will make the enemy tremble whenever we come into that full realization. We begin to minister out to one another. We, as I said, as we begin to speak to one another's mountains, I'll tell you this, and I really believe this, naturally, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you have it and you receive it. But let me tell you what, I believe that in the back of our Lord's mind, we're to let our needs be made known, but I believe in the back of his mind, he was hoping that we would pray for one another. I'll pray for you and you pray for me. God answers my... Have you ever noticed how quick he answers your prayers when you pray for someone else? And how you struggle a lot of times and you don't see it as quick for yourself? And that keeps us interacting and in unity with the body. I need to pray for you, and God answers me right away, and you get the answer. But you need to pray for me, and God answers you right away, and I get the answer. And I stay in harmony, and I stay in unity with the body of Christ. And everyone is uplifted, and everyone realizes that they're ministers and that they have power in the Lord. And if they just speak it forth, we all have this resurrection power in our bodies. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus Christ is speaking in all of our bodies. Isn't that wonderful? Not just leaders or great people, but his blood is speaking through all of this living earth continually.
David said that there, he said he will take that life expression of the word. He said, I'll meditate in it. He used the word, I will chew the cud in the Hebrew. In Psalms 1, verse 2, I'll meditate in thy law day and night. The word meditate is taken from the cow. I will chew the cud. David knew that in the cow there was many digestive chambers. And as the believer, as a cow has the cloven hoof, the separated hoof, so it is that identifies the cleanliness of the animal. And David knew this. He said, as I am in the Word, I will put the Word in my spirit, but I must chew the cud, I must meditate on the Word. So now David is saying, like the cow that has many chambers of digestion, so it is with the believer. Put this in your notes. There are three, as the cow has three stomachs, so there are three chambers in the believer. The first chamber of the Word, three chambers of the Word, is memory. There's some people that just know enough of the Word, they memorize enough to present their denominational argument or that which they want to persuade someone else. That is a very surface side. You really don't digest the Word.
But that's the beginning.
But that is the beginning. It's the first chamber. Some are in that chamber of memory just enough that when the milk of the Word clabbers on their tummy, they become divisive and very critical. The second chamber of the Word is the chamber of revelation. The writer says, I speak to you children. That's your first chamber. I speak to you young men. That's your second chamber. I speak to you fathers. That's your third chamber. God wants to raise up father hearts.
Amen.
So the second chamber of the Word is the Word begins to be revealed to you, setting others free, moving with a young man authority, casting and moving and knowing the power and healing the sick and being setting many free. The third chamber of the Word is the chamber of His image, the mirror, the cocoon of being submerged in Him. So where, from glory to glory, He's changing me into His image. Hallelujah. I will bear the heavenly image of the Son of God. So the cloven hoof, I read the Word, I will bring forth the righteousness of the Lord. His holiness, the manifestation of His power and His blood cleanses me from all sin. I will again move on into the Word, study to show myself approved unto Him. And the revelation of His person gives me power to set others free. That's the cloven tongues of fire. I have the cloven hoof of righteousness. Now I moved on into the power, the young man authority, and the second chamber of the Word is revelation. The cloven tongues of fire, where the Spirit and the Word flow together, and others are set free. In the third chamber of the Word, is it now I'm being changed into His image. Cloven hoof, cloven tongue of fire, and now where Satan is really attacking is the cloven mind. Your brain has two lobes. Your brain has two sides. You have a logic side. You have a creative side. That's why you speak in tongues. Because when you're filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the logic doesn't know what you're saying, but the creative side knows. You're speaking from the throne of God. You're speaking the power of the Ancient of Days in the world. You're coming into the Father heart because you're speaking. The synagmus is the Greek word in Romans 8:26. I will, says, with groanings, the Spirit prays through us. So therefore, if the heart of God could speak, the unutterable gushings of the heart is what you're praying in the Holy Ghost. This is the way He would put it. That's what the original Greek means, the stenagmus, speaking God's heart when you're praying in tongues.
So you have the cloven hoof, you have the cloven tongue of fire, and now God's bringing you into the Father heart. He's touching us in the cloven mind. He's touching your logic. He's touching your creative. You're going to be set free to use and to see and to know.
Hallelujah.
Therefore, the scripture of the... He will loose that anointing of ministry. He says, I'm going to guide you into all truth. You're going to know the revelations of my word, because the spirit of truth is not only going to speak of himself, but he will show you things to come. Your creative mind now is going to be blossomed out.
Yeah.
And you're
going to
see things before others of natural sight. See them, because you will have the Father heart to see, because you know him that is from the beginning. You see his purposes from the beginning. You're also going to see his purposes to the end.
Hallelujah.
Oh, excuse me. Hallelujah is upon me.
Hallelujah. I like to reiterate that, just to spell it out, but you know, the chambers of the word, I love that, the memory. We begin there. But the word then has to become revealed, and we have the revelation on the word. This is thinking on the word, meditating on the word, till it's revealed in us. And even the scripture in Mark 4 said, take heed to what you're hearing. For the amount of thought and study that you give to what you're hearing will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that's measured back to you, and more besides, will be given to those who hear. That's what the scripture says in the Amplified. And so it's so important that we not only hear the word, memorize it, know all the cute little stories that the word has, but the meaning, the depth behind it, the revelation of it, and then it brings us, revelation of the word brings us in to the Father image. And I love the way he tied that up with the first chamber being the little children. And what does it say? Exactly what you said. For you love the sincere milk of the word. And that's good. But grow on up and become a young man. And it says, I speak to you young men because you have power over the wicked one. You have come to know your muscle. That's the revelation. You don't mind if I repeat that? So good. And then the third chamber, it says, I speak to your fathers. Because you're past the milk. And you have that beautiful experience. And you're even past knowing that you have power over the wicked one, but it's sufficient. He says, I speak to your fathers because you have known him from the beginning. You come to where you know him. You know him. There's an image there. You're in his image now. That's the highest of all, is to know him. To know him. It supersedes the milk of the word. It incorporates it, and it supersedes all of the power. It incorporates it, but it gets on as we let it take its highest form. We know him. We know his heart. We hear his word, and his breath flows through us and out of us. That's tremendous. We could eat on that. If we go home tonight and give thought, meditate on this, we've given you a big chew, big mouthful. But if you give thought, take heed, the Bible says, to the amount of thought and study to what you hear. Because measured back to you will be virtue. There's a study on that. And knowledge. And the intent of that original word means above that. So the Amplified picks it up and says, and more besides will be given to those who hear. Hallelujah. The Lord has never put a limit on how far we can go in him. He just lays it open and says, well, come and get it. And some stop all along the way, but there are some who stay right with him all the way.
Hallelujah.
In this retreat, let us determine that we're going to be those that go all the way. We're going to follow up close to him. Others may be doing other things, but we're going to be sitting at his feet. And if he moves, we're going to move.
Oh, yeah.
But we're going to be all the way. Nothing's going to satisfy him, us, but him. And being with him. Hallelujah. That's the Father in him.
You can see Sister Irma, Brother Glenn will have all of the sessions, the tapes, just in a few minutes after every session. It's good for us to take these words and these tapes with us. We also have a series on finding your place in the body, reigning in life. There's something that we'll teach them before we leave here this weekend, and the fame of him. I've been ministering for 30 years and never had seen it until a few weeks ago on the subject of the fame of him. And these tapes, I know, will be a blessing to you. I was sitting here tonight, and the Lord Jesus, just again, I begin to pick up the, had my ears on. And the Lord said, I'm going to bring this conference under my table as David brought me message there. And then Brother Tommy got up and he's going to teach. But man, I wouldn't miss that for the world now. I mean, God spoke to me just at the beginning. I'm going to have my people sit at the king's table, and you're going to enjoy the different regimes of my kingdom. And that's exactly what the brother Nancy is going to speak on. And then Brother Billy, oh, the revelation. And Brother Jack, the prophecy, man, the beauty of the Lord. Let's minister just a little bit to still the Lord's here. I guess I better go around you, honey. I want this couple here. Would you folks mind here standing up? Is this the husband one? Just standing here. Hallelujah. Come on down a little bit with me. Join hands. Glory to God. Just mention your first name for the faith. For the grace of our God has been given, and therefore I will touch thy lives. I will bring you, and your love for each other shall be increased as your love for me doth abound. So do not fear, but relax in the name of the Lord. For my son, that which, yea, I have forgiven, you forget it, to know that I will touch and heal. And through thy chest and through thy metabolism, you're set free. In the name of the Lord, because of my strength and because of the authority, yea, of the cross, thou shalt come forth in me. So do not fear, the authority of my love is over thee. For surely the mantle of Elisha was been given. Thou shalt complement each other in my power. For yea, the Lord will touch you and bring you on in to his grace and his glory. Therefore know that I will, yea, cocoon you in my love and in my grace. For yea, my peace is upon you. And do not think, yea, that is, it's an unusual path, my daughter, because you haven't gone this way before. But yea, my peace has been given, and I will put my arms around you, and I will take you up to Mount Zion, and yea, where David said that yea, no man will shut that door, because I've given you an open door, and you shall come into the grace and the authority of the Lord, and know that I will heal and set you free. Know that my peace is upon you, and the authority of the Lord shall make it right. That which tried to bruise and tear the spirit of heaviness of 2 years ago, they meant it for evil, but I will restore, saith the Lord. And I'm lifting the bruise from your heart, and therefore the healing of the Lord shall be sweet, and you're set free in the name of Jesus. This will begin to be such a moving of understanding and the love and the joy of the Lord upon you, that you'll not waver, but you will know that I will direct your feet, and therefore you will trust in my peace. Trust in the Lord. Lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge me, saith the Lord. And therefore your paths shall be known, and I will bless thee. And in 1 week's time, this decision that you're faced with, there's legal harassment. I'm going to lift that from you, and you'll know the Lord shall provide you to stay. Amen. Do not fear, my son, for the promotion of the Lord's with you. And you'll say, yea, the Lord is good, for he's given me the desire of my heart. Therefore, what you came for, you shall receive beautifully, and you're going to see the blessing and the freedom of the Lord move upon you in a beautiful way. God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Well, the Lord is good, isn't he? Amen. His peace is upon us. Praise God. Would you like to come, this young lady here?
Just come out here beside. Thank you, Father. Amen. First of all, there's just someone you're representing, and we're going to ask the Lord to set them free. The Word says He sends His Word and heal them. So this is, the more you pray, sometimes the worse situations get. But bless God. We're going to lift up your hands. Remember as they lifted up Moses' hands, the victory was won. But I remember, you know, Jesus told me last week, He said, you know, when Abraham raised his hand up, He said, I was there to lift up Abraham's hand. And He's there to lift up your hand. He's here tonight. So there's someone in jeopardy, and this really depresses your spirit. But the enemy is trying to have a heyday. But we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. And therefore, there's also a harassment and a condemnation that would try to come against you. Fiery darts and those things of accusation is lifted from you. And you're a child of the King. And your life has been dedicated to Jesus. And you will walk in the holiness of the Father. You're set free with the power of God. You're delivered and you will move in my peace, saith the Lord. Therefore, my peace is upon thee, and I will send my word, and yea, the authority of my word shall go forth, and they are set free, and you'll know the glory of thy God. And you'll say, yea, because the Lord has known my heart. He has, yea, met my need, and therefore I will see and hear the good report. Do not fear, yea, my son, but stand uprightly and know that I've given you beauty and bands. And you will go forth in me, knowing that I've set you free. Therefore, the desire of your heart shall come to pass. In about 2 weeks' time, the desire of your heart is going to be moving upon you and your family in a beautiful way. And you'll see the deliverance that you, when I say deliverance, it means that which the Lord heard your cry. It's been about for 3 days now. There's a special cry from your heart. And you press the battle to the gate, so therefore you're set free. God bless you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Isn't the Lord good to us? Amen. Well, I tell you, the anointing's here in a beautiful way. Praise God. Have authority of His peace. Amen. I'm watching the time, trying to... Amen. The Lord is good. Hallelujah. I have raised up trumpeter anointings under Israel. I told them all they had to do was watch the cloud. When my cloud moved, then they would warn others that I was on the move. I've given you that same sensitivity in my spirit. I have put within you the trumpeter anointing. These things that would have tried to come against and tried to rob you of that joy in this last month and a half. Yet the Lord is touched and healed, and my peace flowed down through your body, and the anointing of the Lord is broken. Every yoke and the intercession that you have given for others shall boomerang back to you. So yea, my daughter, rise up. Yea, because as a daughter in Israel, you have the trumpeter anointing. You're sensitive to my cloud. It's moving. And yea, the authority of my word shall quicken you. And you will certainly, yea, trumpet the sure sound of my anointing. For I will trumpet my joy within you. You'll hear good news from afar. This one that you've lifted into my hand, this dear, is an intimate loved one. Therefore, I will set them free. And you'll hear, yea, the report of victory and praise. For the joy of the Lord, that which the enemy tried to destroy, yea, the Lord is restored, and the joy of the Lord is your strength. Therefore, you, your hands are anointed, and I will strengthen you. And from this day forward, the authority of the Lord, hallelujah, we speak the provision. I lift off to you limitation, and in a promotional realm of provision. And therefore, the vision of the Lord shall be carried out, and the desire of your heart. You will get to do that which you'd like to do, and you will travel, but you'll return in the power of the Spirit.
But you'll know the Lord's given you a handful on purpose, and your desire is fulfilled in me, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. One more. The sister in the, I guess the blue, is it? Dark, navy blue? Or, anyway, the dark outfit. The blouse. Yes. Hallelujah. Marianne will touch your back and the lower parts. There's just a miracle, actually through your head area down through your body, but as she touches you and I touch the forehead, sister, there's two areas that we must have victory, and we have it. But as we touch your forehead and the healing, of course, will be where, as she is touching you. But when I touch the forehead and the back of the head, when you minister to others, don't lean on people, but as you lay hands, there is a quickening. And the forehead, there's been some real harassing, terrible events that I will say that are just the terror by night. Sister, Psalms 91 says he's going to lift off you the terror by night. And you're set free of different things that would try to make mountains out of molehill, but that's lifted off you by the touching of your forehead. Now, when I touch the back of your head, there's the inner emotions of emotional strain and things that would try to dog you from many years. And the harassment of the accuser of the brethren. But that's healed. The emotions are healed. A trustworthiness and a trusting and a forgiving authority has cocooned you of the Father. And you will have a serenity and not be on edge. And your nervous system is healed from the top of your head through your spine. And then there's that physical infirmity that would have tried to send fear to your being. That's lifted off by the stripes of the Lord. You're healed right now in Jesus' name through your body in Jesus' name. Your metabolism is healed. The anointing has set you free. Your emotion by the back of your head, the center of your emotion, every emotion that is irregular and heavy is lifted, and the garments of praise, the band around your head and your mind is lifted right now. And you can't keep your mind straight, I think you say, or something. Every now and then mind wanders, but that's lifted from you, and the authority of the Lord's upon you. And you say, well, I'm not my old self. Well, you're going to be your new self. Amen. But that's lifted. It's not a giddy. I don't want you. But you understand. Through outlaw and in-law friction, but there's an in-law situation. But there's something that's trying to rob you of your inheritance. And that's lifted from you in the name of Jesus. And legal harassment is gone.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.